Good morning, everyone. Pastor Shiva, lesson 8. What is Shaivite Hinduism? Shaivism is the world's oldest religion. Worshipping God Shiva, the compassionate one, it stresses potent disciplines, high philosophy, the guru's centrality, and the path of bhakti and raja yoga, leading to oneness with Shiva within. Shaivism is ancient, truly ageless, for it has no beginning. It is the precursor of the many-faceted religion now termed Hinduism. Scholars trace the roots of Shiva worship back more than 8,000 years to the advanced Indus Valley civilization. But sacred writings tell us there never was a time when Shaivism did not exist. There are 6 schools of philosophy and tradition within Shaivism. They are... Yes, it's hard to remember all 6, isn't it? So, Saiva Siddhanta, remember that one. Kashmir Saivism, that's easy to remember. Pashupata Saivism, that's an older one. Veera Saivism is the Lingayats, Karnataka. Shiva Advaita and Siddha Siddhanta. They differ in many ways, philosophically, historically, linguistically, and geographically. Still, they share an overwhelming similarity of belief and practice. In addition to the Vedas, the Shaiva Agamas are the shared scriptures of all 6 schools. All 6 identify Shiva as the Supreme Lord, both immanent and transcendent, worshipped as the personal Lord and realized through meditation as the absolute Parashiva, beyond all form. All hold these principal agamic doctrines. And we get 8 doctrines here. 1. The 5 powers of Shiva. Creation, preservation, destruction, concealing, and revealing grace. I was thinking this morning about Iravan Temple and the 5 powers of Shiva and remembering the niches. I don't know if any of you follow that sadhana in the sadhana booklet, but it's to pretend the bronzes are in their niches and remember which one is which and go around and worship the 5. Having them as separate bronzes, I think, will strengthen an idea that Shiva has 5 actions, 5 powers. You know, of course, it's all symbolized in Nataraja, but Nataraja being a one Murti, we don't tend to think about it as much, but I do feel it, you know, being separate. It, you know, on the left, if you're going around from the left front is, don't tell me, Top Purusha, there we go. Then it's Agora. Then it's Ajojata on the back. Vamadeva is on the right back, and then Ishana is on the right front. When you go around, you have all 5, and though we haven't figured out our puja out there, it's likely the puja will go around to all 5 and you know, at least do a simple arati, maybe the chant. We have a short chant for the action. Maybe a short action chant, go around each one. So it'll just impress in our mind this agamic idea that God Shiva performs all 5 actions. So it's going to be very nice. Number 2, the 3 primary elements of existence. Pati, Pashu, and Pasha. God's souls and bonds. That's common to all Hindu teachings. You have God, soul, and then something which causes bondage. The 3 bonds or malas, anava, karma, and maya. So we don't believe in the doctrine of illusion when we say anava, karma, and maya. We believe in the existence of the world. And when Anava is present, then we look at the world as a very real phenomena, and we look at ourselves as a person, as a very real person, and the drama of life takes off. Or you need it. Maya's the stage, you know, and Anava's the actor. Karma helps determine the plot. It looks like free will for a while, but then that karma starts coming back to you. Anyway, Anava, Karma, and Maya. The threefold energy, Ichakriya and Jnana. Here it's translated love, action, and wisdom, which is good. You can also translate Icha as desire, which is in some of Gurudeva's writings, and I copy that idea. I say, Icha Kriya Jnana not only applies to God, it applies to the soul, and is describing the mechanism. We have a desire. If the desire is strong enough, it'll cause us to act. Icha Kriya. And then, depending how that action works out, if it works out well or works out poorly, we learn from it, Jnana. So, Icha Kriya Jnana. And if it works out poorly, the idea is we learn enough from it to not do it again. Because there's no reason to make the same mistake twice for someone on the spiritual path. You know, we should be observant enough to know this didn't work out. What can I do differently next time so it works out? Or should I avoid the action altogether? So Icha Kriya Jnana, the 36 tattvas, which are we studied those some during some of our classes. We have the big chart on it, but 36 tattvas is distinctive in that some systems have 24, such as yoga philosophy, and the philosophy of yoga is based upon Sankhya. They only have 24 tattvas. They don't go into the deeper ones. The first 24 are the same, but then the Saivism has 12 more, which goes into the deeper ones. So we won't focus on those. The need for a satguru and initiation, so diksha is very important. Power of mantra is number 7, absolutely. The four padas or stages of spirituality, charya, kriya, yoga, and jnana. I thought I'd say something on those. Doing some research for the webinar. The webinar, I think it's called Stages of Evolution in Saiva Siddhanta, something like that. Meaning Charya, Kriya, Yoga, and Jnana. Sometimes we think of them just as a practice, but it's also a stage of the evolution of the soul. To be joyfully engaged in that practice reflects the stage the soul is at. So it's not just the practice, it's that this is what you like to do. That shows it's a stage. We have the University of Madras, it's still called that, on the website too. It doesn't say University of Chennai, so I haven't changed the reference. University of Madras Tamil Lexicon. In print, it takes that much space on my bookshelf. But it's also online if you can figure out how to find things. And it's amazing how many words from Saivite Hinduism are in this lexicon. And these are technical words. So one of them, I mentioned it in passing in one of my talks, it's more in a humorous sense, is this idea of charya and charya, kriya and charya, yoga and charya, jnana and charya, charya and kriya, kriya and kriya, yoga and kriya, jnana and kriya, etc. So each of the four, charya, kriya, yoga, and jnana, has four subdivisions of practice. I was thinking about that, and I was saying, well, we don't write on that in any of our current publications. Take a look in the dictionary. So it's in the dictionary. It's a one word in Talmud. Charya is Sariyai, and Kriya is Kiriyai in Talmud. So Sariyayit Sariyai, Charya in Charya, Kiriyayit Charyai, Kriya in Charya. So it's a word right in the dictionary. Though it's a phrase in English, it's a one word in Talmud. Oh, I thought I'd read those. This is actually Sabaratnam Shivacharya's rendering, but it's exactly the same as the dictionary. It's obviously very standardized. You know, it's not a difference of opinion. The first two, Charya, the four stages of Charya and the four stages of Kriya, which is all we'll look at because of the time factor. So just think for a minute. What would Charya and Charya be? What you think it would be? What would the first practice you're supposed to do be? Don't say, just think about it. This is the first practice. Doing various services in the temples, such as sweeping the interior enclosures, mandapas, and the like, besmearing the ground with cow dung, collecting the flowers, and so on. That's the first practice. So obviously, if you don't have a temple, you're out of luck. You can't even start. So I made the comment here that says, talk story. Saiva Siddhanta is temple-oriented from the very first level of practice, Charya and Charya. In other words, we don't focus on an altruistic activity that is not at the temple, such as helping clean the local park. You know. That's nice, but in terms of purely religious practice, the idea is it should be done at the temple. So doing the chores at the temple, that's the first practice. And it's so basic, it's in the Sri Lankan children's course a number of times. I've got the course, except grade 7, in a big PDF file. And you can tell from the text and the pictures, I think about 4 times in different of the 11 grades, there's a picture of sweeping the temple, doing this, doing that, you know, from a very young age. It's encouraging the kids to do the chores at the temple. Kriya in Charya. Having chosen a particular form of Shiva among the 25 forms, Sabaratnam's little parenthesis there, to worship it regularly in a temple is guided by a guru. If not the form of Shiva, he may worship Ganapati or Skanda. So worship is the second practice in the temple. It's not the first practice, it's the second. We're supposed to do the chores first. And then that leads up to attending the puja. Yoga in Charya, meditating on the chosen form of the Lord. Jnana and Charya, to be an intuitive experience resulting from such meditation. This is Gurudeva's idea, and it's in the seminar. I don't have time to present it this morning, but be in the seminar. That it's very important to, if the temple is conducive to it, you know, not super busy, or you can only stand in front of the deity for 5 seconds, to sit and meditate after the puja. So that's yoga and charya. Staying after the puja is over and meditating. And if you're successful in your meditation, you're actually experiencing something inside yourself, that's jnana and charya. Oh, very, very interesting. And we'll go through kriya quickly. Sariya Yit Kiriyai, Charya and Kriya, to collect all the necessary substances and tools needed for the daily worship of Shiva Linga and offer them to the guru or to a devotee involved in such worship. So this is the home shrine. It doesn't say home shrine, but it means it's clear from the next one. So doing the same thing for the home shrine worship is the, because Chari is based on the temple, Kriya is based on the home shrine, Yoga is based on going within. Kriya and Kriya, of course, to do the purificatory ceremonies and join the niyagamas, and then to perform the worship of Shiva Linga systematically after getting initiated into that worship. Sound familiar? So, Kriya, Yit Kriya. Yoga in Kriya, to perform internally the worship. So that's the idea of our vigil, daily vigil. We do a puja or attend a puja, and then we sit and meditate. So that's yoga and Kriya. And then again, if that meditation finds something inside, then you're jnana in Kriya. Oh, isn't that interesting? I thought that was interesting. We should put that in some publication. Either this is Sabharatnam Shivacharya's rendering of it, or we could just take it right out of the lexicon, whichever one we prefer. They almost say exactly the same thing. They both use this phrase, according to the agamas. You have to worship according to the agamas. Well, what do we learn there? Besides that I'm over time. Well, we learn how different Saivite Hinduism is from Vedanta, at least as it's taught today. You go into the Ramakrishna Mission, or the Ramakrishna Missions plural in India, or the Vedanta societies in North America, what do you encounter? Shrine to Ramakrishna. He's not on the deity list here. Shiva, Ganesha, or Muruga, right? There wasn't any Ramakrishna. Totally different. Totally different approach. They've made the founder, a wonderful person, Ramakrishna, wonderful teachings, but he's become the avatar of the modern age. That's what they call him. Avatar of the modern age, and there he is, right in the shrine. Well, imagine if you had Ramakrishna in your home shrine. You know, it just would really feel kind of strange. You know, the guru from long ago as the image, it's just a totally different feeling. And Chinmaya Mission, they don't have Swami Chinmayananda in their shrine, but they don't really have a temple. They have just a simple shrine. It's more like a home shrine in their center because it's not that important to them. And it's not by the agamas. So the whole emphasis of Vedanta is not on an agamic temple. There is no agamic temple in either of those institutions. They're not trying for one. Some other swamis don't even know what the agamas are. It's not part of their training, the agamas. So you can see a big difference between Vedanta and Siddhanta, and you can also see how, you know, why when the Flushing Temple came up in the U.S., it was the first Hindu temple built like an Indian temple in its looks and with priests from India. So encourage members to go there to have that experience so that, you know, real start out Saiva Siddhanta in the way you're supposed to start, helping clean, helping take care of an agamic temple. So it was very nice. Wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya.